Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our telephone talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us this morning. It seems that over the past couple of decades, we, as more and more families, have a case where both parents, both mom and dad, work. We have been giving more and more attention to the difficult balancing act that comes when you have to juggle responsibilities of work and family. And now we're looking at a new wrinkle in this difficult challenge. And that is people who may not only be still have some responsibilities taking care of their children, but also may be taking on the responsibility of taking care of their elderly parents. In fact, now there are over 22 million American families providing care for elderly relatives, and way more than half, 64% of those caregivers are working full or part-time. So this whole business of balancing the challenges, responsibilities of work and family for a lot of people are becoming just that much more difficult. And it is also something that increasingly employers are having to acknowledge. And in fact, some employers are trying to provide some help to their employees because of the kinds of distraction that it can pose when it comes to dealing with family problems and being on the job. Well, this morning, in this part of Focus 580, we'll try and talk a little bit about trends in elder care. And at least in part, spend part of our time talking about the way that employers are responding to what their employees are going through. And our guest for the program is William Mulcahy. He is the president and the founder of a company called Work and Family Benefits Incorporated. He set up that company in 1992 and has had a significant career working in the insurance business. Before setting up Work and Family Benefits, he was senior vice president of American Business Insurance Northeast, which is the nation's 17th largest insurance brokerage firm. Before that, he was a principal with CPI Insurance Group and president of CPI Benefits. That's located in New Jersey. And I won't do his whole resume for you, but he is a recognized expert on employee benefits and concentrating in this particular area. So we'll talk this morning about this issue, and certainly if people have questions, they can call. Maybe you want to tell us about your particular experiences, you can do that. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. That's good. Anywhere that you can hear us, that is 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Mr. Mulcahy, hello.
Hey, David, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Well, thanks for the opportunity.
Just make sure I sort of understand. It's my understanding of what Work and Family Benefits is all about is that, for example, if I was an employer and I knew that my workers were facing this kind of challenge and I wanted to provide them some assistance, then what I would do is hire your company and then you would help the people who work for me in dealing with this issue of caring for older parents.
That's exactly right. And really, it's because as the employer, it's in your own self-interest. Some of the statistics you cited earlier, two in five of what we call the sandwich generation, being defined as people that are caught in the middle in the sense of taking care of seniors and taking care of children. Two in five are providing elder care. So from the employer's perspective, as people have to deal with those issues, typically they have to deal with those issues on the employer's nickel. So it translates into a productivity dilemma for the employer. So while it's not certainly not rampant across the country, what we're all about is trying to be a voice out there for a new benefit that would create convenient access to solutions for employees as they're dealing with those issues, in the form of a new benefit that we call the Work and Family Benefits Values Package. An employer would buy that for their employees. It's very inexpensive. And we would assist those employees in balancing their work-life responsibilities, which ultimately translates into a $3 to $13 return on investment to the employer.
I think that's really interesting because we certainly know that this issue is out there, although I think as a nation we really haven't at all started to come to grips with what it means that we have this very significant part of the population that's getting older. But it's what's interesting to me is that some employers are actually thinking about this because I think in a larger sense, employers are not as sensitive maybe as they might be to the family challenges their workers have when it comes to kids. And now here's yet another spin on this, where indeed, as we've said, we might get to a point where we have a lot of workers who not only have to be, you know, they may have to be dealing with sick kids, but they may also have to be dealing with sick parents. And that's a whole new deal.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's quite an issue. The Family Circle, Kaiser Family Foundation survey on health care and other elder care issues that came out in 2000 said they talked about child care issues were the most talked about stresses for families in the 20th century. And in their research, they said that we believe that caring for aging parents is the most pressing stress in the 21st century. So you could just imagine the stress, and we see it every day with our clients and their employees, that people are dealing with when they have both of those issues to deal with. Child care is an issue, for the most part, that you can plan for. I mean, if a family knows they're having a baby or an individual knows that she's having a baby, you know, you kind of know the time frames that you're dealing with, and you can plan for that. Elder care tends to be a much more emotional issue. And, you know, I'm fond of saying these days it's going to be one of the great wet blankets that hits society over the next 5 to 10 years. And I think that's about the time horizon that we're looking at when you start to look at the demographics around the baby boom generation and how that wave is moving through society. Mm. Elder care tends to be extremely emotional. And I can speak very personally. After I get off of this program, I'm going to a service for my mother, who passed away 4 years ago. I have 3 young children. My mom passed away 4 years ago. My father and my mother were married for over 50 years, and that was very sudden. She died in her sleep. He then, my dad, who my mother took care of, by the way, and your listeners will appreciate the fact that, you know, I mean, women tend to take care of us out there. So
yeah,
that's
right.
The dynamic. My father was then in an accident about a year later, and this was a very healthy guy, very independent guy. And he lost 40% of the use of his right arm. And he went from being a very independent, strong guy to saying to me one night, walking to a hockey game, you know, Bill, if someone came up to me and, you know, threatened me, I'm not so sure I could defend myself with this arm. And I just don't think until you're confronted with that kind of reality from someone who you've always looked at as, you know, a person who would protect you or watch out for you, even as an adult, you know, and there's still that dynamic where your dad's your dad. It's very threatening, and it's very emotional. And all of a sudden what starts to happen is the parent, in many respects for baby boomers who are dealing with child care and elder care, in a lot of cases the elder becomes almost like a child again. Because now you're really watching out for them. And as the years have progressed since my mom passed away, my father has gotten progressively worse. He's had some neurological problems. He's still living on his own. He wants to be independent, which is a very central theme to seniors out there. But the reality is that we're worrying all the time as to whether he can, you know, go to the store or take that drive that he wants to take. Because he's fallen a number of times since then. He's been hospitalized. Different things happen. So you have that dilemma on the elder care side where you want to take care of them, but you don't want to smother them. They want to remain independent, but by the same token, they also are looking at their own mortality, and they realize that, you know, when they're 82, 83 years old, as independent as they want to remain, they can't do the things that they used to be able to do. And it's a very emotional issue, elder care.
Yeah. Well, pardon me interrupting you. I was just going to say that I can second that, and I've seen a little bit of this in my family, my wife's family, actually. Fortunately, my parents are doing okay. But and I think that that's something that maybe even people intellectually can grasp, and people who have children of their own and know that they've been through family crises and know what can happen. I think you've touched on something very, very important. And also hard for people, I think, maybe to grasp who haven't experienced that, and that is the emotional impact of your parent, your father, or your mother declining, and the fact that you sort of always figured that they're going to be there, and that was the person that took care of you, and you know, the idea that they could get sick, and become so sick that they couldn't take care of themselves. I know for some people it's simply more than they can deal with, and I'm sure in a lot of families it causes a lot of difficulty because, you know, maybe there are a number of siblings and some of them are up to the task emotionally and some of them are not.
That's
and
right.
That can cause real difficulty in families between those people who are and maybe honestly they would say, you know, I'm sorry, I know I'm failing here in my responsibility to my mom or to my dad, but, you know, I can't handle it. I cannot stand to see them like this. And you can understand that on one level, but then if one or two siblings end up providing most of the care, then there's going to be a whole lot of resentment and stuff to be dealt with later between them because of someone, however honestly and straightforwardly, we just had to say, hey, you know, I just can't deal with this.
Well, there's no question about that. We see in our work with families, typically what you'll have, and the situation that you just described is not, you know, of course it's not exclusively the case out there, but it's very prevalent in the workplace. I mean, typically, or in society, typically you'll have, you know, a number of siblings. The dynamic today, as opposed to 50 years ago, is that, you know, 50 years ago, everybody lived in the same block, or in some cases in the same house. Today, everybody's all over the place. So location has a lot to do with it. You might have a sibling that lives close to the senior that needs to be taken care of, and you might have two or three or four other siblings that are, you know, in Atlanta and in Miami and in Chicago and in Boston and in Los Angeles. And that in and of itself, you know, creates some dislocation in terms of trying to figure out how to provide care. One of the things that we do in that regard, for instance, is when our counselors are talking to the person who is the caregiver in the family, and to your point, typically there is one person, and families listening to this can see, they know who that is in the family. They know who the person is that will typically be the primary caregiver in the family. That's usually the person who we're dealing with. And what we'll do as we do our job and get to understand what the needs are of their particular family and then provide solutions to that family regarding resources that they need, the way we do that is we send out profiles and guidebooks to help people evaluate care options and know what questions to ask, et cetera. But what we'll do is send packages of what we send to the primary caregiver to every other sibling in the family. Because typically what happens is it's a collective decision around elder care for exactly the points that you're talking about. Even if someone is not emotionally able, say, to deal in the primary caregiver role, more often than not, they still want to help out. They still want to be part of the decision as to what's best for mom or dad, or it could be an aunt or an uncle, or it could be a neighbor that people are fond of. And what the challenge is, while it is a fairly daunting issue, the reality is in this country is that there are tremendous resources across the country to deal with the issue. The challenge is, how do you connect the dots? How do you bring all those resources together to bring to bear on a particular problem that a family is dealing with in this regard? And fortunately, that's where technology comes into play in our business. And you're able to aggregate a lot of that information on the head of a pin that we call a computer and a database. And you couple that information with a social worker who has the expertise and the knowledge and generally speaking the wisdom to be able to act as the interface and the advocate for that family in the community where care needs to be delivered.
We have a couple of callers here, and we'd like to certainly invite anyone to call in. I should introduce again our guest. We're speaking with Bill Mulcahy. He's president of Work and Family Benefits Incorporated, a company that he started in 1992. And as we explained, the idea is that for employers who are interested in providing as a benefit to their employees some help in dealing with the issue of dealing with elderly parents, this is the kind of thing where employer could hire this company and then they would be the consultant and provide information to the workers and help them make decisions and find resources and so forth. And so we're talking, though, about in a larger sense about this issue of elder care and the fact that now we know a significant percentage of the working population in this country does indeed have some responsibility providing care for their elderly relatives. So questions are welcome. 800-333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. Go to anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. So if you have questions, comments, you certainly are welcome to call. We have a couple of people here ready to go. The first is, they're both in Urbana, so we'll start with line one. That's right here. Hello.
Good morning. This is Linda Lopez, and I am an Urbana resident. I also happen to be a gerontologist working on a local program, and therefore I thought that your listeners might also like to know we are, in fact, doing something and doing something that they can put their hands on right away. It's through the University of Illinois Office of Continuing Education. It comes under Personal and Professional Enrichment Programs, and we're calling it a Practical Guide to Aging, available both the fall and spring of 2002, fall of this year. And for people who would like additional flyer information, the Continuing Ed Department is 333-7369. And this is something that we have definitely agreed with you, Bill. We are attempting to reach businesses, churches, clubs with a half-hour overall intro and then focus on exactly what they need.
That's great.
So I think that your efforts are truly pinpointing the stresses and distresses, and I just want people to know very locally that there is something going on, and we would be delighted to know what their needs are and schedule something that fits into their calendar.
David, you know, what Linda's talking about is exactly what I was saying earlier in terms of, and Linda, you might agree with this, that there are a lot of resources across the country. But the challenge is how do you get the message out? How do you help people understand that either on a local level, in their local community, or on a state level, or from a federal perspective? I mean, there's a whole maze of resources. I mean, the challenge is sorting through that, but certainly it sounds like in Urbana, locally, you're providing a resource that would be a great stop for people to access and
investigate. And I was going to say, if I might comment a little bit further on what is actually advertised in this brochure, it says, if you can answer yes to any of the following statements, this program's for you. I have experienced, or I am presently experiencing, or I expect to experience, working a full or part-time job with aging parents, retiring with aging parents in Illinois, retiring with aging parents living outside of Illinois, facing sibling conflict related to caring for aging parents, or do you simply have the following philosophy? I don't plan on retiring or aging, just growing older gracefully.
I think that should probably include almost everybody.
We hope of all ages, so that by the time we get there, we're having fun.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So again, this is a program that's available through the University of Illinois Office of Continuing Education. And I assume that this is not just for U of I employees?
Not at all.
It could be for anybody. Okay.
The entire community, for large and small businesses, for churches, small clubs. We just want to get this information out. And so, again, the area code is 217-333-7369 or toll-free 877-455-2687.
Well, that's great. I appreciate you calling in and sharing the information with us.
And,
great.
Bill, carry on. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Let's go to Urbana, another person here, right here, line number two. Hello.
Hi. I'd like to suggest that WILL have a program on recognizing dementia and dealing with the issues surrounding it. My husband's family has had a couple of people develop dementia, and just watching the family try to figure out, well, first of all, recognizing the problem and not denying it, and then figuring out how to be respectful and yet essentially recognize that you've got an elder who is no longer mentally able to recognize that they have a problem and to do anything about it, but yet sounds as though they do and may resist any attempts for anybody to try to tell them that there is a severe mental or cognitive problem going on. There's just so much that I've learned in dealing with those people, even at the remove that I'm at, and interacting with them. It's so much more than memory loss, and it's been as interesting seeing other people's ways of trying to figure out what to do or not wanting to figure out what to do, watching the medical profession deal with it or not deal with it, One doctor told an aging aunt who had an elderly sister who just died at the age of 98 and has been in a nursing home now with dementia for about 7 years. But previously, the doctor said, just pretend you don't see the symptoms. It was totally unhelpful.
That seems like, yeah, that's denial is never going to get you anywhere, is it?
That doesn't necessarily work for the you know, families involved.
Yeah, but it's such a complex thing. And now I understand that with dementia, at least, the sooner that you get some diagnosis, the more likely you are to find that there might be something that might be a temporary problem, like vitamin B12 or thyroid, or that there are some medications that can help stave off the decline or keep it from happening as precipitously. Anyway, it's a little bit sidetracked from what you're trying to talk about, but I wanted to ask you to devote one or two programs to that whole thing.
Sure. I think it's an excellent suggestion, and I'm sure that there are a lot of folks listening that would find that interesting and important and would want to have that. So, yeah, I appreciate the thought.
Thanks.
Well, I also think, David, to the point that the caller is, you know, bringing attention to. I mean, as an illness or as a sickness, if you will, that families are dealing with. When you look at healthcare costs in this country, pretty much we consume healthcare dollars for the very young and the very old. And in my prior life, from a benefits perspective, as a benefit consultant and developing benefit plans for corporations, when you look at claims data and experience, you tend to see a lot of dollars being eaten up. If you have a retiree population that is being provided health care coverage, there's a tremendous amount of expense that's going in that direction. And what I have found in speaking with families and in my own family with my dad is, unfortunately, and I think this is to the caller's point, unfortunately, a lot of times, and I don't think it's by design, I just think it's the nature of the system, seniors don't necessarily have, they're not discarded, but I think they're kind of rammed through the system pretty quickly. In many cases, the reimbursement rates are at Medicare levels. Physicians are under physician offices are under more increasing pressure from your bureaucracy perspective in terms of paperwork. The reimbursement rates in many cases are lower than what they used to be. And seniors really need to have advocates out there when it comes to whether it's issues around dementia and whether the family is getting the proper guidance or anything else. It could just be a simple checkup. You really need to get involved in helping to ensure that the senior is getting a regular checkup and that, as best you can, to the point about early intervention with dementia, which I think is right on, you want to make sure that senior is not just being pushed through the healthcare system. And oftentimes that means that we as caregivers need to get a little bit more involved in what's going on in that realm.
Yeah. And certainly, as you say, one would just underscore the idea that if you think something is going on, you want to get the person seen by a doctor to figure out what it is, because it might indeed be something that was eminently treatable, and it would be important to treat. And maybe the symptoms that you're seeing and that you're concerned about, it's not dementia at all. Maybe it's something else that would be much easier, where the prognosis would be better, but you're not going to know that until you actually have a physician check the person out.
Yeah. Well, actually, one of my counselors recently set up for my father a physical that's covered under Medicare that would be a general checkup and take a look at from a physical point of view, from an emotional point of view, from a mobility point of view. Basically, take a look at him, and come back to us with a report and suggestions as to what we can do to support his quality of life. That is something that's covered under Medicare. Now, the issue there is there are not a lot of facilities that have the resources and the team of experts to do that type of work. So you have to look in your area. I mean, that's part of what we would do. For corporations and their employees, we would identify, which healthcare institutions or which centers would actually provide that support. But again, it's another example of resources that are out there. Most people are unaware of it. And we find in our business that we spend a lot of time just educating people on what the options are out there.
Mm-hmm. Just real quick, I promise I have a person here waiting. I want to get to them. But just as the question occurs to me, and I wonder what your experience has been, you talked about the fact that it may be, particularly if you're going with Medicare, it might be difficult to find a provider that's willing to do that. So maybe this is sort of difficult. But if you were looking for a physician for an older parent, how important is it, or do you think it is important, that you maybe try to find someone who works with older patients, who specializes in gerontological medicine?
Well, I think it's important. I think what you'll find as a practical matter that physicians who tend to have offices in retirement communities will serve an older population, and they tend to have a lot of people that they're serving. So I think whether it's that physician or physician that's not in a retirement community, that's in a, you know, if you will, a normal community where seniors choose to live because they want to be close to their kids or they want to be part of a more active community with a wider demographic mix, that it still requires some involvement on the part of the family just to make sure that senior is being treated, with the level of dignity that they deserve.
Well, let's talk with some other callers here. We have someone in Edgar County. This is on line number 4, our toll-free line.
Hello.
Yes.
I hope my call isn't inappropriate, but could your guest speak to the problem when another family member, siblings, seem to make a determination that another member of the family really is in a situation where they need constant help and give the impression that you just can't handle things by yourself anymore. Is that unusual, or does it happen now and then when family members just say, well, you know, I don't think she's handling this right. I think we need to have this kind of help for her. When over all the years you've taken care of everything by yourself, you're still doing it. But just the constant pressure that maybe you need to go into a facility, or maybe you need to go live with someone else, and that kind of pressure, I think, is very difficult for the person who really is handling everything. You know, buying groceries, taking care of payments, keeping up the house. Is this an unusual situation, or does it happen now and then?
I don't think it's an unusual situation from our experience. I think that, my family, like most families, like your family perhaps, we're all different. And as I said earlier, I think what tends to happen is you tend to have, you know, one individual become the primary caregiver, and human nature just being what it is, if that person is doing all the things that you just articulated, there's an incredible amount of pressure day in and day out on that individual. And it's probably not that the other family members are not appreciative of that, but it's the old adage, it's out of sight, out of mind. And unless you're living with the situation, and particularly with elder care, and it sounds like this particular caller, David, you know, might be dealing with that situation. You can almost hear it in this person's voice. I mean, I find that with my dad, as a for instance, if I can use that as an example.
Please do.
You pay an incredible amount of attention to just the way they walk. I mean, if they're walking down the stairs, you're afraid they're going to fall.
Uh-huh.
If they're crossing the street, if they're eating dinner somewhere, is something going to spill on their shirt? And what happens then is that they feel embarrassed that they're embarrassing you. So if you're the individual that's dealing with that situation and living with that situation, that can create a lot of stress. And that's not something that's obvious to the family member that is 1,000 miles away and intellectually might support you and might sincerely appreciate what you're doing. But unless you're there living with that situation day in and day out, it's very difficult to identify with that. And it's from our experience, it is not uncommon that that particular person is going to feel a lot of pressure. That is exactly why I created the business that I created, because when you talk about transportation or you talk about having to put someone in an institution, the reality is that's exactly what we are faced with as a business when people call us up. They don't know which way to turn. So the first thing you want to do is to be able to say, okay, let us understand your particular situation, and then let's talk about what options exist out there. And just in doing that, it takes a lot of the pressure off. As a for instance, for whatever reasons, the baby boom generation seems to feel almost a knee-jerk reaction to, if my senior, or if my dad or my mom or whoever I'm responsible for can't take care of themselves anymore, they need to go into a nursing home. The reality is, the senior, the last place they want to go is into a nursing home. They typically want to remain independent and stay right where they are.
And when you're taking care of your home with no problem whatsoever.
That's right. So what we try to do, first and foremost, is to understand what the issues are and to bring to bear various services that can help you. As a, for instance, let's say that a more appropriate response as opposed to a nursing home is some level of home health assistance. In addition to that, we might be triaging a convenience service that'll come in and cut the grass or shovel the snow. Okay. We might arrange for a transportation service that will move that senior around, or an emergency response service, so that if that senior falls, the number one reason why seniors end up in the hospital is from trips and falls. And anyone who's caring for a senior out there will immediately know that. So you might have an emergency response service that if they fall, they can hit a button and somebody can be there in 5 minutes or so. So typically what you're looking at is what's the situation, what are the resources that are available in a given community, and then connecting those resources within the context of what the individual caregiver can afford, what the senior is covered for under some private program or public program, and bringing those resources to bear so that senior and that caregiver have a quality of life that they can enjoy.
Thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you for the call. We have about 15 minutes left in this part of Focus 580, and our guest is Bill Mulcahy. He is president of Work and Family Benefits Incorporated, and as we've explained, this is a company that offers as a service to employers the kind of assistance that we've been talking about. That is, if employers know that they have workers that have to deal with these issues and would like to provide them some help in dealing with them, well, then you can hire this company and they'd come in and that's what they do. But in a more general sense, we're trying to talk a little bit about just where we are with elder care and how it is that we respond to some of these needs, the needs that families have that may have, for example, children of their own and may also be caring for elderly parents. And the number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. In Urbana, for our next caller, here, line number one. Hello.
Howdy.
Yeah.
I come from somewhere pretty far away, not somewhere I want to name at the moment, but I wanted to give you a little story that illustrates some of those differences on this subject. The story is that you're in a boat, and your parents and your spouse and your kids all go overboard in a crash, and the boat takes on enough water you can only pull one set of them back in, either your parents or your kids or your spouse. And the idea is to get answers that describe the different cultures that you come from. Some of the cultures say you pull in your parents because you can never get new parents, but you can get a new spouse or you can make new kids. Obviously, here we have a completely different philosophy, which is women and children first. And that doesn't seem to quite get extended into the programs you're talking about. But my parents raised me to decide that you could not invest in the past. They said if it ever comes down to investing in us or investing in your kids, you invest in your kids because that's where the investment is going to do the most good. And I'll hang up and see what you say about that.
Well, I don't know how you can respond to that, Mr. Mulcahy, other than I guess my personal feeling is I think it's sad if that comes to that kind of choice, where we say we must choose between either taking care of our children or taking care of our parents, and that somehow if somebody drowns, to extend the metaphor, well, that's life. That's I think it's kind of sad.
I kind of feel like I have to respond, would I rather die by water or by fire? The reality is that makes for a nice story, but it's just not that simple. And there are very few times when any of us are faced with that type of an option, where we're looking at saving our parents, our spouse, or our children. I mean, clearly that's catastrophic. And I think anybody that goes through that type of situation, is to be pitied more than anything else. I can't deal with that type of question for the simple reason that it makes for a great call. But the reality is that there are issues in this country that we have to deal with. In our business, we do provide core competency service delivery in the area of child care and elder care, adults with disabilities. And when you start to address those major categories, there are all kinds of subsets that come out underneath that. So I think to his point regarding women or children first, we pay a fair amount of attention to women, children, et cetera. The reality is that if we're going to create ways for the workforce today to be a healthy workforce going forward, and for children today to have a future, which means a strong economy and hopefully a strong culture, then I think that we need to find creative ways to leverage the resources that do currently exist and to put them together in such a way that they can be delivered as realistic, viable solutions cost-effectively to women, children, seniors. And we can't go round and round and talk about situations that are very rare. I mean, the reality is today that we have, 2 in 5 people age 45 to 55 taking care of older adults. And that's a percentage that's likely to increase as the baby boom population ages. And employers play a very small role in helping, with that commitment. 10% of that sandwich generation are raising children that are under 21 while caring for their parents or older adults. And some numbers would actually be higher than that. Some numbers go as high as 33% saying that they're taking 33% of the baby boom generation is taking care of children and older adults. And a majority of those people say that they expect their level of caregiving to increase over the next 5 years. That's the reality. Your spouse, your kids, and your parents dying, in a boat that's going overboard is a bit dramatic. The reality is much more boring than that. The reality is the fastest growing segment of the labor force are women with children under the age of 6. The fastest growing segment of the population are people over age 75. And the largest percentage of the workforce is the baby boom generation, which is 1946 to 1964. Those people put on their helmets every day and march off to work to create a society and an economy that's competing in a global marketplace. And what that workforce needs are realistic, pragmatic solutions that they can access. And from our perspective, the employer has a role to play in their own self-interest in providing, cost-effective, meaningful solutions to address those issues. I can't deal with the extreme situations that caller articulated, because that's just not where most people are these days. Mm.
We go on here to another caller here in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Howdy.
Yes.
I had to call back. I didn't realize the guy would dodge the question so severely. He seems to be very commercially oriented, and that he wants to do all these services that are money oriented, that make a profit for the medical society. And
I'd just like to point out that as pragmatic and monetary as he wants to get, you cannot possibly spend the same dollar on your parents as you do on your kids. He wants to pretend that you can have your cake and eat it too, and you can't. If you go halfway, lots of times you lose everybody. You know that. He knows that. He just wants to stay on the commercial side of medicine, and I find that I don't have a word bad enough for it.
Well, I don't know if we want to. I have another call. I don't know if we want to keep going on this, Mr. Mulcahy. But let me ask you this question. It seems that we know that as the population, we have this increasing big segment of the population that's getting older, that they're going to have needs for a variety of care, including the possibility that some percentage of them are going to have skilled custodial kind of care in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And it seems that what now we're starting to talk about, when people who are in the business of, you know, advising people about their financial planning and so forth, they're saying that we're just going to have to come to a point where it's going to be routine for people who can afford this, as they're thinking about their insurance and their retirement and so forth, to have private insurance to cover the possibility of nursing home care or in-home care. Mm-hmm. And they say that if you think you're going to get to that point and you're going to rely on what's provided by the government, you're going to be real unhappy what's there. Are we as a society going to say that this is something that's going to have to be provided? Or are we going to, as a society, say that everybody's on their own and that if you think someday you're going to be in a nursing home, well, you better have nursing home insurance. Otherwise, you know, maybe if you're lucky, after you spend every penny that you've got, you can go on public aid, but then you're not going to be real happy with the level of care that's provided. How are we going to go on this?
Well, I'm assuming that I really don't want to get into a debate with your previous caller. I'd love to respond, but I think that would take up some time, except simply to say that I don't represent the medical community. This is not, nobody's paying me for this particular discussion that we're having here today. And to that particular point, I'm an individual that created a business, has taken a lot of risk and have a lot of my own money invested in trying to make this business happen and to deliver these services across the country. So, and the market will tell you whether your services are cost effective or not and can be consumed. So I that's about as much as I would say to that caller. But to your question, David, you're really talking about the whole dialogue around long-term care today and that particular need to raise the awareness level for people as to how they're going to ensure that if they have a need for custodial care or skilled care, which is not covered under Medicare, that they have the assets to do that. And the conventional wisdom right now is, as it was with various services revolving insurance, is, the earlier you buy it, the less expensive it will be, and the better off you'll be in terms of being able to buy it when you're healthy and get the best rates possible. And I think that market is starting to come to the point where there are very competitive products out there, and you're seeing more employers starting to offer at least basic plans on the long-term care side. But there is no question that savings rates in this country are not at the level where they need to be to ensure that people can take care of themselves and fund for their own retirement. I was reading something recently that said that well over 36% of Americans 65 and older say that not having enough money for retirement is their number one concern. Another 11%, fear ended up living in poverty. And without getting into the issue right now that that's part of the public debate at the highest level in this country regarding the solvency of Social Security, Medicare, et cetera, the bottom line is that people need to do whatever they can to put money aside as early as possible. I'm talking about most people. I'm not talking about people that are wealthy. I'm talking about the great middle class in this country. They need to enact strategies, leverage programs through the employer, through the workplace, that are going to supplement the social programs that we have out there. And the earlier you do it, the better off you're going to be.
We'll try and get one more caller here. They're in Peoria. It's line number 4. Hello?
Yes, good morning. I have a sister that has Alzheimer's, and she's 92 years old, and she's in a nursing home, and now it costs $40,000 a year to keep her there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it.
That's fair, really, when the other people are in there that have nothing, and they have the same care.
Well, that's sort of the very issue that we've talked about.
Well, and I happen to be, I live in New Jersey. Anyone who lives on the coast, and I'm certainly not minimizing what your caller is stating, the cost of taking care of that gentleman's sister at 92 with Alzheimer's, besides the emotional cost, the financial cost is outrageous.
She stayed with us for 7 years, and we finally couldn't take care of her.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Although I guess I find myself going back to this idea that if people, as a strategy, if they somehow can think that they can go through all of their assets and then when they don't have anything, rely on public aid to be taken care of in a situation like that, they might be disappointed because the kind of choices that, or if that's what they're thinking about for their parents, they may be extremely disappointed because the kinds of choices that you have at that point may be very few. And it might indeed be not the kind of place that you would choose either to be in or to have your parent be in.
Absolutely, David. You're absolutely right. Unfortunately, but you're absolutely right.
Well, you know, we're almost at the point where we're going to have to finish. This is such a big area. There's so much that can be said that we've just kind of scratched the surface. Is there some thought that you'd like to leave people with?
Well, I think But to the very first question, I think, when people are caregivers that are taking care of folks out there, need to have their antennas up, and they need to try to investigate whatever resources might be available in their community to make sure they know what kind of support is out there for free, where those resources are, and for themselves, if possible, to try to plan accordingly from a financial point of view, and to recognize the point that you just made, that we really need to take care of ourselves when it comes to planning for the future. And the sooner we do that, I think the better off we're going to be.
Well, I guess at that we will stop with our thanks, Mr. Mulcahy. Thanks very much for talking with us.
You're welcome, David. It was a pleasure.
Our guest this morning, Bill Mulcahy. He is president of Work and Family Benefits, Incorporated.